All right, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 13. Sa aklat tayo ng Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. And the Bible says, "And lead us not into temptation." It's petition number 6. You know, there are 7 petitions in the model prayer of Matthew chapter 6. And now we are on the 7th petition. We're on the last petition. And it's linked, it's very closely related to petition 6, but this of course is totally different. And so often, we read through the scriptures and we breeze right through these words and we don't understand the full meaning of the words. And so it's good once in a while when we do Bible study to stop and slowly consider what the words mean and what the truths surrounding these words, how they apply to us. And certainly one thing I can tell you is it is necessary to pray. We must pray. If anything else we want to accomplish, we ought to be praying Christians. We ought to be praying all the time. So if you're doing something, stop and pray. Because that's the only way that God will bless what you're doing. And if you're not praying, you cannot expect God to bless you. So in our lesson, we found there are 7 petitions. And the 7th petition is, "But deliver us from evil." But deliver us from evil. The first is, "Lead us not into temptation." The second is, "But deliver us from evil." And they're related in the sense that they're both talking about spiritual battles. Spiritual battles. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people that are failing in spiritual warfare and in spiritual battle because they do not pray. Prayerlessness leads to defeat. Leads to no victory. A little prayer means little victory. Much prayer means much victory. You see? Prayer. No prayer, no victory. Okay? And oftentimes, that's what makes the difference in the Christian life is prayer. Prayer. You study any of the Bible heroes and you will discover that the thing that makes them prosper and successful is prayer. They know how to pray and get a hold of God. And if they can do it, so can you. Okay, especially if you are saved and born again. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you have grounds to pray. And how unfortunate it is for Christians who know the Lord but don't pray. That is sin, and that is why there is no victory in the Christian battle, in the spiritual battle. So Matthew 6, verse 13 says, "But deliver us from evil." Kung Tagalogin natin ang Bible, ang sabi ng Bible, "Sa halip, iligtas mo kami sa masama." Iligtas mo kami sa masama. This is a prayer that you're asking God to help you not to fall into sin. This is a determination prayer, a prayer that determines. You show God you are determined and resolved not to fall into sin. And so we're asking God's assistance. We're asking God's help. Three ways or four ways we're asking God in this here prayer. But before we look at the four aspects of determining not to sin, let's look at the word deliver. Okay, so let's define some words first. Okay, so the 7th petition is deliver us from evil. So what does the word deliver mean? Anong ibig sabihin ng deliver? Baka isipin ninyo, delivery. Hindi ho. Yung parang yung meron kang package. Deliver. That's not the word deliver. Okay. The word deliver here means to save, to rescue. To save or to rescue. The idea is that we're asking God to protect us, to keep us, to deliver us. Sa Tagalog, iligtas. Iligtas mo kami. Ilayo niyo kami sa kapahamakan, sa kasalanan. Iwasan. No? Tulungan niyo kaming iwasan ang kasalanan pagkakamali. And so, and then the word evil here, deliver us from evil, stands for anything that is a spiritual hindrance to our sanctification. Anything that hinders us from serving the Lord, anything that hinders us from holiness, it's evil. It could be the devil. It could be the world. It could be the sin, the sin principle that lives inside of us even as believers. It could be any spiritual enemy. We're asking God to save us from all those things, to deliver us from those things, from our spiritual enemies. And so, simple. It's a very easy, simple prayer. But think about it. How many Christians really ask the Lord for spiritual deliverance? How many Christians really pray, but deliver us from evil? How many Christians pray, lead us not into temptation? And so in the spiritual battle, if you're not praying, you will fail. You are guaranteed to fail because we do not have the power in us to fight the devil. We are no match for the devil. The devil is a fallen angel. We are humans. Okay, we're ranked lower than the angels according to the scriptures. They're more powerful. The devil is a very, very powerful foe. If you think about it, the devil's been around for thousands of years, probably 6,000 some odd years. Think of that. He's been around for thousands of years and he's seen people come and go. And we are no match for him. And so if we're not praying and asking God to help us, we are no match. We will fail, okay? But on the other hand, if we pray, well, then the devil is no match for the Lord, you see. He's no match for the Lord. Go over to, I want to show you two passages of Scripture. One is Jude. Right before Revelation is the book of Jude. And Jude, verse number 9. Notice that Michael the archangel, he doesn't dispute with the devil. He himself doesn't rebuke the devil. This is Michael the archangel. I mean, you can't find a higher angel than Michael that's shown in the scriptures. There are others in the scriptures, but we don't know who they are except for Michael. Michael's one of the archangels that are named as the archangel, but he's one of the chief princesses of the Bible, according to Daniel. So he's one of many. There are many archangels, we just don't know them. But even Michael the archangel, and he's a warrior angel, he represents Israel. He's kind of like the guardian angel over Israel. But look at Jude, verse number 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." You see, Michael has authority. Michael has power. I mean, Michael, if you rank them, he's higher than Satan. Satan's a cherub, according to Ezekiel. He's an anointed cherub. But Michael is an archangel. So he is higher in rank compared to Lucifer, compared to the devil. And even though he has authority and power and mightier than Lucifer, the devil, he does not rebuke the devil in his own power. Understand that, Christian. The angel, Michael, doesn't rebuke the devil in his own power. You know what Michael appeals to? Michael appeals to the Lord. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." It's the Lord who will stop the devil. And so, Christian, how can you expect to defeat the devil in your life if you do not pray to God and appeal to the Lord for His help. No wonder many Christians are defeated, discouraged, destroyed by the devil, because they do not submit themselves to God. They like to resist the devil. They want the devil to flee, but they do not submit themselves unto God. And then they fight the devil in the power of the flesh. It's not going to work. It'll never work. There's one more passage in Zechariah. Go over to Zechariah chapter 3. Let me see here. I think it's chapter 2. Zechariah. Yeah, Zechariah chapter 3. Look at Zechariah chapter 3. This is talking about the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, the angel, is Jesus Christ. This is a manifestation of Jesus prior to His bodily manifestation in the New Testament. So this is the Old Testament. And Jesus is revealed as the messenger of Jehovah, the angel of the Lord. So Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 1. And He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. So here's the high priest, Joshua. This is during the time of Zerubbabel. This is not Joshua the assistant of Moses. Don't get that confused. This is the Joshua of the return, as they return to build Jerusalem, as they return to build the walls and the temple. This is be the temple of Zerubbabel. This is the Joshua, the high priest of that Zerubbabel temple. Let's go back again. Zechariah chapter 3. And He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at His right hand to resist Him. Again, the devil is all about resisting the Christian. You see, resisting the believers. And that's his job. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan. Now get what Jesus said unto Satan, what Jehovah, the Lord. What did the Lord say to Satan? Now, I don't know if you can find anyone higher than Jesus. But look at what Jesus says, verse 2, okay? And the Lord, Jehovah, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Now, did Jesus, or the angel of the Lord, did He have authority in His own? Yes, He is His own power. He is, you can't find anyone more preeminent than Christ, the Old Testament angel of the Lord, the messenger of Jehovah, and yet He doesn't rebuke the devil in His own power. He defers to the Lord, His Father, God the Father. You see, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. And so here we are, Christians. We're asking God to deliver us from evil because we appeal to the Lord. We do not have the strength in us to fight our spiritual battle. I want you to understand that. We are totally dependent on the Lord. And part of the sin of prayerlessness is that we depend upon ourselves. And when you fight the devil in your own strength and your own power, you will fail. Because you have Michael and the angel of the Lord, they don't even appeal to their own power and their own strength to defeat the devil. They appeal to God. And so our challenge is that we must pray. We must pray. Okay, so we ask God to help expel. These are examples of how we pray. We can pray and ask God to help expel evil thoughts from our minds. Sinful thoughts. Sinful ideas that can invade us. Where do you think those sinful ideas and sinful thoughts come from? Well, for one thing, they could be the fiery darts of the wicked. They could also come from our own selves. Look at James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1 verse 14. The Bible says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And so there's a sin principle, a sin force, if I could say it, inside of us as believers that draws us away, that entices us, invites us to sin. And we're asking God to help us here. We're asking God to help turn our minds to better things. Turn our minds to the things of Scripture. Turn our affections. Lord, help us to set our affections on things above and not dwell on the things of the earth. And that alone will encourage you. See, when your mind is filled with negative and your mind is filled with sin and your mind is filled with worry and fear and doubt, it's time to ask God for His help to fill your mind, expel from your mind these wrong and sinful thoughts. Here we cannot be passive and, you know, expect the Lord to bless. You know, maybe I don't have to resist the devil. I don't have to fight the devil. I just surrender myself to the Lord. Yeah, but you, when you surrender yourself to the Lord, you got to get up and do something. You know, don't just sit there asking God to help you, but you don't get up and fight sin and do something else and find a different activity, you see. Open the Bible and read the Bible and renew the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, right? And verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So how do you renew your mind? You get in the Word of God, you see. And you allow the Word of God to change you. You have the mind of Christ in you, according to Philippians chapter 2. When you got saved, God gave you a sound mind. And you have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, let the mind of Christ dwell in you. Let this mind of Christ control you. Stop the stinking thinking. And start asking God to help you in your mind. Ask God to help you in your spiritual duties, in all the spiritual duties of the Christian. Look at James. We're in the book of James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4, 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So if you know a spiritual duty that you're supposed to do and you neglect that duty, that's spiritual defeat. Okay, you're going to be defeated. But you can ask God to help you, encourage you, and empower you to perform any of the spiritual duties you're supposed to perform. Whether it's praising and being thankful to God instead of being complaining and discouraging, forgetful of the blessings of the Lord, you can be thankful and praising to God at all times. By the way, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, are you a rejoicing Christian? Or are you a defeated Christian? Huh? Are you rejoicing or are you defeated? So, how do you help someone who's discouraged if you're a Christian? Well, return to prayer. Return to the first spiritual duty that backsliding, you know, you want to know where backsliding starts? It starts by the neglect of prayer. That's where spiritual backsliding begins. The neglect of prayer. And so if you want to stop the backsliding and you want to get back to rejoicing, then it begins with prayer too. It also begins with prayer. So confess and forsake the sin of prayerlessness and be thankful to the Lord. Pray at all times, not just praising and thankful at all times. Pray at all times. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means we have to have the attitude that we're constantly in fellowship with the Lord. And you know, when bad news comes your way, there ought to be an automatic prayer that darts out from your heart to heaven before you even perfunctorily pray. You should have a fellowship with the Lord. You just cast your burden unto the Lord, you see. And you cast your care upon Him. You know, do you do that? Or do you just bear your burden alone, you know? Or share it with your friends, you know? That doesn't do any good. Unless you first go to God in prayer and ask the Lord to help you. Pray at all times. Pray that we become an effective witness for the Lord at all times. At all times. When everybody else around you is moping around and bad-mouthing, you, as a Christian, ought to have the joy of the Lord in your heart and the rejoicing, and you ought to testify of the goodness of the Lord. You ought to be the salt and the light, and you ought to be a witness, a Spirit-filled witness for the Lord at all times. Think about it. All the world knows is bad news, and it'll get worse, by the way. Whatever the bad news is, it's going to get worse. So if somebody gave you a bad news today, it's just going to get worse. Because in the world ye shall have tribulation. That's a promise from Jesus. But in Christ, you can have peace and joy because Jesus overcame the world. And so if you're a believer and people around you are hopeless and helpless, guess what? You can point them to the Lord and share them the good news of Jesus Christ, and it'll put joy in your heart when you can lead them to the Lord, you see, and give them a witness, something that will not just cheer them up, but something that will remove sin and shame away from hell, the hellfire, the guilt and the sin can be removed by witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the Lord. They need hope. They need help. And the only one who could really help them is the Lord. And you, Christian, especially as a Christian, don't forget, we don't have the power. We are nothing. It's not us, but it's Jesus who lives in us. It's Jesus who... greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, we are nothing, but Jesus is everything. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so it's not us, it's the Lord in us. We can ask God to... when we ask God to deliver us from evil, in a way... we're also saying that, Lord, we accept whatever chastisement you bring our way. We surrender ourselves to your disciplining hand upon us. You know, when we don't do right as born-again believers, as Christians, when we are in sin, God guarantees that we are not going to be blessed. We are not going to be happy Christians. If you're a born-again Christian and you are in sin, God will not bless you. Think about it. God is a heavenly Father. He will make sure to chastise His children when His children do wrong. And when we say, Lord, deliver us from evil, we're saying, Lord, in a way, we're saying, Lord, however which way you want to correct us, we will receive your reproof. We will receive your correction. Do you receive correction, or do you hate being corrected? Well, Christians, we don't like rebuke. We don't like reproof, and yet rebuke and reproof is necessary, needed. It's part of our spiritual formation. It's part of our sanctification that God would reprove and rebuke us. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I have yet to meet perfect children. There are no perfect children, and every child needs discipline. And the children aren't perfect because the parents aren't perfect neither. You see that? Nobody's perfect. Not even the moms and dads are perfect. And they need corrected too, you see. And all of us need the Lord to reprove and rebuke us. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Let me get there. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 11. Proverbs 3:11. Here's an excellent verse to remember. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. So when God is correcting you, when God is reproving you, chastising you even, the Bible says, despise that not. That means don't fight God, you know. Receive his rebuke. Receive his correction. Admit and confess your sin and be corrected by the Lord. And you'll have restored fellowship, you see. Your fellowship with God can be restored. We need to listen to God's reproof and correction in the right spirit. We must be corrected. We must be correctable with the right heart attitude. I mean, if God's dealing with you and you're not receiving his reproof, you're rebelling against the Lord, then how can you expect for God to deliver you from evil? No, you're perpetuating the evil. So if the Lord corrects you or shows you some sin through the Word of God, the best thing to do is to thank the Lord, confess it, and forsake it. And you can have restored fellowship with the Lord. We have to receive the reproof and correction from the Lord, no matter the human instrument that God uses. Oftentimes, if you're a young person, the Lord uses your parents to correct you. If you're an adult and a church member, oftentimes the Lord uses the pastor to correct you, you see. Doesn't matter who the human instrument is. That's not the important thing. The important thing is it's the Lord who sent the authority or the head to correct the body, you see. Correction comes from the Lord. And it doesn't matter who the human instrument is. You need to receive the correction from the Lord and change your ways. When you're shown sin and you're shown the scriptures, change your ways and ask the Lord to help you. And it will deliver you from evil, you see. We ask God for help not to be defeated by our spiritual enemies. Listen, if you're a Christian, if you know the Lord is your Savior, there's a bullseye behind your back. What does that mean? There's a target on your life. There is a devil who wants to stop you from growing in the Lord. There is a world system that's designed by the devil to entice you, to trap you into sin. And then there's a sin force that lives inside of you that if you're not careful and if you don't think about it, you'll be feeding the sin force and you'll be defeated by sin in your life. You should feed the Spirit. You see, you should feed the Spirit the Word of God, and you should pray in the Spirit and strengthen yourself spiritually. Every time you go to church and you learn something from the Lord, you hear from the Lord, you learn something from the Bible, it's a spiritual strengthening. And then every time you obey the Lord, you're strengthening yourself spiritually. Every time you pray, every time you read the Bible, it's a time of strengthening. The Lord's strengthening you, you see. And how are you doing? Are you being defeated or are you growing spiritually? Prayer is the only way to defeat our spiritual enemies. Now, look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. This is the last verse I want to show you. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Notice the connection between fainting and prayerlessness. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. I want you to get this here. This is a powerful truth. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is the purpose why Jesus spoke this parable. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Did you get the connection? What Jesus is saying is, if you're not praying, you are fainting. So you're a fainting Christian when you do not pray. Now, I will dare say that the devil is not impressed with how much Bible you know, as long as you're not praying. The devil doesn't care if you go to church and are faithful in church, as long as you're not praying. The devil's not bothered by how many gospel literature you share with others and how you talk about the Lord, as long as you are not praying. The devil doesn't care about how many sermons and messages and how your devotional life is going, how you're reading the Bible, as long as you're not praying. If he can get you not to pray, he can get you fainting. See? So it's good to read your Bible. It's good to go to church. You ought to do those things. But don't neglect your private, secret prayer life. Because that's the thing that makes the difference. Prayer, imagine this. Prayer brings God's help into your life. Imagine that. Prayer, the simple act of prayer, brings God's Holy Spirit anointing in your life. Now, what if you don't pray? You see how fruitless everything is without prayer. And again, the devil doesn't care as long as he's okay. He's okay with you listening to the sermon. I'm glad you're listening. I hope you're listening. I hope you're not snoozing. But I'm glad if you're listening. But the devil, he doesn't care if you listen, but don't pray. He doesn't want you to. He'll interrupt your prayers. He'll try to get you to stop praying. He'll try to get you to forget praying. Why? Because prayer is what makes the difference, you see. Anything. Do anything but pray. I think that's maybe one of the mottos of the devil. Anything but prayer. And we as Christians, we need to appeal to the Heavenly Father on the seventh petition here. Deliver us from evil. And you'll see God bring victory in your life if I can get you and convince you that you cannot neglect prayer. You must pray, or we will be fainting. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this great challenge, this great reminder that we're all equal in prayer, and that you answered David's prayer, and you answered Hezekiah's prayer, you answered the Lord's, Jesus's prayers, and yet you can answer my prayer. You can answer our prayers. On the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to you, full access to you, an audience with the King of Kings. What a privilege to pray, Lord. Certainly ask that you would imbibe in us, Lord, the spirit of prayer, that we would certainly, truly desire, above all things, to be praying Christians, Lord. Of all that we can accomplish, help us never to neglect that one needful thing of fellowship with you through prayer. And Lord, we do ask that you'd answer our prayer requests according to your will and way, and help us to obey you in this vital, vital area, and show us spiritual victories in our lives. Lord, I long to see Christians grow and be spiritually fruitful, but I can't pray for them. They have to pray for themselves. Lord, I pray you put that in their heart, the need for prayer. We ask your help upon us now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Salamat sa pakikinig. And I hope that...